Amen. So the kids are going to stay in for this bit, guys. It's not going to be a long talk that I'm going to do. But I want to say to you kids before I start, we are really, really happy and loving that you're here. Thank you for coming and for joining with us. And you're very much part of this church family. And I'm not going to talk for any more than 2 hours, I promise. Only joking. It shouldn't be longer than an episode of Dora the Explorer, guys, okay? That's about the length it's going to be, so it should be fine. We've been looking on Friday, we looked at Luke's gospel and the story of the cross and the fact that it was by dying on the cross that forgiveness was given to us as a gift. We looked at that. We looked at the way that Barabbas was given in place of Jesus, the sinful for the sinless, the unrighteous for the righteous, showing that Jesus was taking our place as he died on the cross. We looked at the cross itself and Jesus praying this incredible prayer. He prayed, "Forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they do." If you want to know what kind of God we serve, that we love, we pray the kind of we praise a God who prays for those who persecute him. We worship a God who loves his enemies. We looked at the criminals that died alongside Jesus. One who died and didn't want anything to do with him, but the other one who at the end of his treacherous life turned to Jesus and said, "Remember me when you come into your Father's kingdom." And he was given grace as a gift right at the end of his life. And then we looked at the curtain being ripped in half as Jesus died, and how that communicated to us as a people that we now have access to God through Jesus Christ. Guys, the good news is that we don't need to do anything to earn our way to the Father. Christ has done it through dying on a cross. His body was torn, the curtain was torn, and now if we put our faith in Jesus, we have direct access to the Father. No more lambs need to be sacrificed. No more rituals need to be observed. No more priests need to be confessed to. We come straight to Jesus, and he saves us. And then Jesus was buried. And that was yesterday, Easter Saturday. One of my favorite days, Easter Saturday. Partly because of what Caleb said, you don't do much generally. But also because of this. And if you're excited by this thought, you're allowed to sound excited, by the way. Easter Saturday is awesome because Jesus was burying your sin. Amen? That's pretty awesome. You know those things we've done wrong? We wish we could bury it. I love playing with my kids in the garden, and I love that they love digging in the soil and digging into all sorts of things they shouldn't. And they often come in with like mud all over their hands because they love burying stuff and planting stuff. Well, do you know what? Jesus planted, buried, tucked away our sin in the grave. But this is the important thing, guys. This is the important thing. When he rose, he left it there. Amen? On Good Friday, the check for our forgiveness was written, and on Sunday, it cleared. That's what was going down. On Good Friday, the check for our forgiveness was written, all covered at the expense of Christ, and on Easter Sunday, when he rose again, it said, "This check has cleared." The offer of forgiveness from our God will not bounce. He will pay all that he said he will pay. He did pay it, and the check has cleared. So now we're going to look at this incredible story, the resurrection morning. Just a few thoughts coming out of that, which have got me excited. I've been finding myself feeling really emotional just this morning as I've been thinking about the resurrection. Here's why. Because it literally changes everything. That's not a throwaway statement. The Bible says, not die says, the Bible says, if Jesus didn't rise, then we are the most pitiable people on planet Earth. That we are stupid. Like, what are we doing on a Sunday morning if Jesus is dead? Really? Well, I'll tell you what we're doing. We're being religious. Like, I should have stayed in bed. You should have stayed in bed. By all means, eat your chocolate eggs and enjoy your sport. But if Jesus didn't rise, then the Bible says, we're nuts. But he did rise. And this is how it went down. Laura just read it to us. On the first day of the week, that's the Sunday, early dawn, the ladies, now the women in this part of the Bible story are absolute legends. They're the ones that stuck with Jesus all the way through to the end. All the fellas ran off. The women are there at the foot of the cross. The women are there when the body is buried. And now the women are the first up, crack of dawn, and they're there with spices to go to put perfumes and spices on the body of Jesus in the tomb. We know from the bit that Jeff read that they'd seen where the body was laid. But here's the thing, and this is a question I want to challenge some of you guys with, okay? They went with burial spices because they were expecting to find Jesus dead. As much as they loved him, as much as they adored him, as heartbroken as they were expecting to find Jesus dead. I wonder when you came to church this morning, maybe you're not a regular at this church and you're very welcome to be here as I said, but I wonder if you what you were expecting to discover when you came among God's people this morning. Were you expecting us to be worshipping the idea of Jesus or celebrating the great teachings that he gave or celebrating what a good bloke he was and thinking back on like the miracles which he performed? The ladies went expecting to find death. That's not what they found. And I pray that if you come among a true gathering of God's people like this or any other church where Christ is alive and the word is preached, I pray that what you will find is life. If there's no life in a church and no life in God's people, something ain't right. There's life in God's people because we serve a resurrected Jesus. This is what went down. They went to the place, to the tomb with the spices they had prepared. They'd obviously lovingly, painstakingly prepared these spices, probably at great expense. And they go to this tomb and they find the stone rolled away. Now, by the way, this is a big stone. Like, this isn't a stone like a pebble. This is some massive rock that you don't just roll away. I love the phrase rolled away. It just sounds like a roll. You know, it wasn't the stone that had been shunted away or barged out of the way or cracked open. The stone had been rolled away. And this was a massive stone which would have covered the entrance of a large tomb. It would have taken many, many men to put it in place. It would have taken many, many men to have moved it out of place again. But it's not always men that move stones. When they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed, this is interesting. The giant stone that no human being could move on his own is just over there. And the body that we saw put by there a few days ago isn't there anymore. What's going on? And this is great. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. You got to love that phrase, right? Dazzling apparel. Like, that's angelic language. I still maintain that a Christian should make up a clothing company called Dazzling Apparel. And all their clothes should be white and like just be really sparkly and blinged up. That's what I reckon. Dazzling apparel. But anyway, these guys are angels. So now we've got a massive rock has been moved. We've got a tomb where there was a body. The body's gone. And two angels in dazzling apparel. And these women, understandably, it says, were frightened. Terrified. Everything, like when they arrived at that grave, was not as it should have been. They weren't expecting the rock. They were expecting to have to find someone to help them move the rock. They were expecting to find the body of their beloved Lord. And they weren't expecting to find angels. And they bowed their faces to the ground. And the men said to them, and this is my question for you guys this morning. This is what the men said to them. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Why do you seek the living among the dead? Because friends, tombs are where dead people dwell. And I know that my Redeemer lives. Amen? Everyone is looking for something. Everybody is looking for answers as in some way, shape, or form. They may not say, I'm searching for God. That might not be how they phrase it. They may say that they don't believe in God. But all of us are looking for answers to the problems and the complexities and the challenges and the sin of life. And everybody who ever started a religion or everybody who ever had a good idea or everybody who ever offered hope of any description ultimately is going to go the way of the grave. Everyone is going to go the way of the grave. Only one could not be contained by the grave. Only one is greater than death itself. Only one could take care of our sin and live to tell about it. And that is Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning and you're asking yourself, I want to understand, I want to know what it is about God that I should believe. I want to know what to believe about life, the universe and everything. Can I tell you, go to the grave that is empty because the one who is in there is alive and still changes lives today. He still forgives people today. He still loves people today. As much as I love giving my kids Christmas presents, I don't know if any of you kids like Christmas presents. I love giving Christmas presents. When I had kids, the whole Christmas thing changed. I stopped wanting stuff, because you do when you're younger. Well, what can I get out of my mum and dad for Christmas? And all of a sudden you got kids to give stuff to, and all of a sudden I genuinely care a lot more about what I get to give than what I get to receive. True story. But I think my kids would have to be honest, and so would you guys, let's be honest. The presents are often forgotten about shortly, maybe a month later. You know, if I asked any of you adults, what do you have for Christmas last year, you might remember. If I said 5 years ago, you still remember? No. Because the things of this world, they decay and they go out of our mind and they're forgotten. And it's the same with the ideas of the world and the thoughts of the world and the philosophies of the world. If you want to find answers, don't go to things that run out of batteries. And don't go to things that run out of life. And don't go to things that can be forgotten about and buried and done away with. Go to the one who is still alive. Do you know why Christians should be joyful? Do you know why Christians should be loving? Do you know why Christians should have hope? Because the one who we get all those things from, who we find all those things in, is still alive. If you're looking for love or life or hope or meaning or purpose in anything or anyone other than Jesus, it's either going to run out of batteries or run out of life. I say that with great respect. I love my family, I love my wife, but I can't depend on her for my hope, because she will let me down and I'll let her down. I can't depend on my children for my meaning, because one day they're going to grow up and hopefully live a better life than me. I can't depend on my friends because they betray me. I can't depend on money because I don't know if you noticed, there's not a lot of it around and we're running out of it. Not making any political statement at all, but there's less around than there was. Thus ends my almost party political broadcast. So we can't depend on money. I can't depend on cars because I keep crashing them. Honestly, I'm a nightmare driver. You know, I can't depend on my physical frame because you ask my kids, I fall over with bad ankles all the time. I've got arthritis at 37, really bad arthritis. I genuinely love the summer and the sunshine. If for no other reason, my ankles stop hurting for a couple of months. I can't depend on my physical strength. I can't depend on my brain because I feel that the squeeze when I've got more things to think about. I keep forgetting stuff. My friends, if you're looking for life, for hope, for forgiveness, or for anything else, anywhere other than Jesus, you're not going to find it. But the resurrection story is this. You need look no further, because my Redeemer lives. Is he your Redeemer? Forgiveness lives, and love lives, and hope lives, and grace lives, and mercy lives. And while Jesus is alive, we are not without hope. In fact, 1 Peter 1 says that we've been born again to a living hope. And our hope can't be killed. And I can say that with absolute guarantee, cast iron assurance, because they tried. They tried. They tried to take my forgiveness away from me. They tried to take my life and my love away from me. They tried to take my peace and my joy away from me. And they pinned him to a cross. But the power of God was such that Satan could not hold him. Sin was not more powerful than him, and the grave itself had to let him go, because the Holy Spirit was sent into the body of Jesus to raise him from the dead and to give him his life back, to give us that life. And the awesome truth of the Bible, Romans chapter 8, verse 11, is the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the grave is at work in us if our faith is in him. You tell me that we can be without hope and without love and without life and forgiveness and joy and peace if the same Holy Spirit of God that busted Jesus out of the grave is at work in us. Is he at work in you, friends? Is he at work in you? Do you have that life, that peace, that hope? Why are you looking? Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here. He doesn't belong here. He has risen. Risen. Yeah, that's right, bruv. Bang on. Lyric. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified. Jesus had told everyone, this is what's going down. Now, can any of my kids tell me, where's Ezra? Is Ezra around there, Shell? Ezzy, come here, bruv. Ezra, my three-year-old son, is going to tell you why Jesus had to be crucified. Come here, Ez. He's tired, it's all right. There we are. Now, Ezzy, come and tell the guys, right, why Jesus had to die on the cross. Let's go.
Jesus died on the cross.
For our
sins.
Why?
For he loves us.
Amen. Good boy. Go and sit down. Okay. Thank you, Ez. Now, the reason that, I mean, he didn't know I was going to do that, by the way, but like the reason that I wanted Ezra to explain that to you guys is because it's something so simple that children can understand it. We can make theology so complicated. We can make this Easter thing so complicated. We can confuse people, spin people's heads out with big arguments and lofty words. And the truth is, Jesus died on the cross for our sins because he loves us. That's it. That's why he had to be crucified. Anybody here done things you regret, committed sin, offended God by the way you've lived? Anybody? We all qualify. I'll put my hand up on all of your behalf, okay? We have a God who loves sinners. And Jesus had to be crucified to pay the penalty for our sin. So that when we ask the question, can I be forgiven? Jesus says, and he demonstrates, yes, you can. Why? Because I love you. The cross was a demonstration of love. God demonstrates his own love towards us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And these angels say, remember how he told you that? He told you that he had to be crucified, but on the third day, rise. How can you not get that? Like, I'm not picking on him, because I think we wouldn't have got it either. But he said it, like, at least three times. I'm going to die, but I'm going to rise again. After 3 days, he even gave him a countdown, 3 days. I'm going to die, but I'm going to rise again. I'm going to die, I'm going to rise again. And then they remembered his words. You can trust everything that Jesus says. If you're here this morning thinking, can I believe this Bible? Can I believe this mad skinhead preacher at the front? Like, can I take Jesus at his word? He said he was going to die. He said he was going to rise. And he kept both of those promises. If he can keep both of those promises, my friends, he will keep every other promise that he ever makes. And he promises to not cast away anybody that comes to him for forgiveness. Not to cast away anybody that turns to him for mercy and grace and hope. And I believe him, because he's alive. If he said, I'm going to die and rise, and he only died, well, fair enough, he had a good crack at it, but he didn't keep his promise. It matters that the grave is empty, because it means that we can trust every other word that he would ever say. I'm going to close just very quickly in a moment. It says, returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now, it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. The apostles were the blokes that had done a runner. Do you think they believed these ladies? But these words seemed to them an idle tale. And they didn't believe them. They didn't believe them. These women, I can't imagine what emotional state would you be in if you'd just been told Jesus is alive. We know that Mary Magdalene actually met with him in the garden. When they're telling these disciples Jesus is alive, the disciples were saying essentially, that's a nice story, but it's an idle tale. Too good to be true. Not sure we can quite believe you on that one. Sorry, ladies. And I wonder how you're thinking right now as we're talking about these things. Maybe you're thinking, it just sounds too good to be true, Di. It just sounds like a fairy tale. It sounds like a nice, you Christians seem to be quite perky about it, but not convinced. If that's the case, I want to introduce you to my friend Thomas, and then we're going to sing again. And this is what Thomas is going to do for us. He's going to help us with our doubts. You might have heard the phrase, a doubting Thomas. It's all about this guy Thomas in John chapter 21. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we've seen the Lord. So the other apostles eventually came round when Jesus had appeared. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of into his side, I will never believe. I want more evidence. I want more proof, Thomas said. 8 days later, he's had 8 days of thinking this through. His disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and he wants to give us peace. Then he said to Thomas, he says to everyone, "Peace," and he goes straight to the one who had doubts, straight to the one who was saying, "I can't believe this stuff," straight to the one who said, "Nah, sorry, that just sounds too far-fetched." And this is what he does. He says to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side," where the spear had gone in, to make sure that he was dead. And then he says this to Thomas, and I believe he says it to you guys this morning. "Do not disbelieve, but believe." Guys, do you believe? Do you really believe that Jesus is alive? Do you really believe that your sin has been paid for on the cross, and that he rose as he said he would, and that death is no longer a thing to be feared, and heaven is a cast iron guarantee because your faith is in him? Do you believe? Thomas answers him, "My Lord and my God." He responds with worship, and Jesus says to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Let me say that again. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Guys, if you believe this morning, you are blessed of God. Do you believe? Paul wrote to the Romans that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Do you need to be saved this morning? Put your faith in him this morning. Believe. Don't fix your life and come to him. I want to say, put your faith in him right now. Trust him right now. If you are a Christian and hope is low and you're feeling like, I know, just Jesus just doesn't feel like real to you, ask him this morning, "God, I believe. Help my unbelief." Because when you are hoping in the God of hope, then your hope will be full. When your joy is in the God of joy, your joy will be full. But if you think he's dead, you don't get that stuff. If you're pinning your forgiveness on how well you perform and how well you behave, and not on his performance, both in dying in your place and rising again, you'll never know the fullness of forgiveness. But it is all there for us as a gift. Final thing to say, and then we're going to sing. If a band want to come up and get ready to lead us in a final song. Although I think a drummer just done a runner, so that could be interesting. I better talk longer then. No, I'm joking. I won't. Final thing to say is this to you guys. The Bible says that today is a day of salvation. I can't think of a greater way of marking Easter than putting your faith in Jesus Christ. What a great day to say, "I believe," on the day where we remember that he said, "I live." Will you put your faith in him today? Let's pray together. I'm going to pray a simple prayer, guys. It's just a simple prayer. I'm not going to ask anybody to do anything like put their hands up or come to the front. I'm just going to pray a prayer that all of God's people can say amen to. And if you want to put your faith in Jesus this morning, you just pray along. Just in your heart. And just come and let me know at the end if that's what you're going to do. But let's pray and just celebrate and thank God for the gift of his son. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are unlike any other. Thank you that you love sinners like us. Thank you that you sent Jesus to demonstrate that love by living the life that we were incapable of living perfectly, and by dying a death that we deserved on the cross. We ask you would forgive us for all our sins. But we believe that you will forgive us because you rose again from the dead. We want to live lives that truly say thank you and live lives that truly are changed by your power. Please, may the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead come and work in our lives for his glory. Thank you for the gospel. Amen. Amen.